This Biz News briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to transactional banking with simple, transparent fees.
Welcome to this Biz News briefing. It's Thursday, the 23rd of January, and in our lead story today, Ukrainian President Zelensky discusses the outlook for a peace deal with Russia, saying that any peacekeeping forces need to include U.S. troops. Zelensky also says he believes that involving Chinese President Xi Jinping in the negotiations will push Putin to a deal. Zelensky spoke exclusively to Bloomberg's editor and chief, John Micklewaite, at Bloomberg House on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum in Davos.
It's great if we will have troops, but we have to understand that the troops will not be in the center of the capital.
Yes.
They will not have relaxed time. Yes, it's very important because I heard that some allies said that, yes, but it's okay, we can be in the center of some city. And then, no, we don't need such contingents.
You want the front line.
Yes, with our people, of course. Yes, because this means security, and that's it. So, but it can't be without the United States. I will explain to you why. Even if some European friends think that it can be, no, it will not be. First of all, nobody will risk without the United States. The second, that what can divide NATO, divide EU and USA, that is a goal and dream of Putin, to divide this unity.
You mentioned China. How important is China in these negotiations? I mean, China is the backer of Russia. They seem to have had an impact on things like Putin not using nuclear weapons, those sort of things. Can China push Putin? And do you have any contact with the Chinese?
I had some contacts with Xi Jinping. We had a phone call during the war. Not too much, not enough, I think. Yes, he can push Putin to peace, I'm sure. I think that only President Trump is the strongest, and Xi Jinping. I think that there is no other allies who can really do it. Yes, because his economy, Putin's economy, after sanctions, after everything, depends very much of China.
You would like Donald Trump and Xi Jinping of China work together to push Putin?
I think yes.
Putin.
Yes, but not without us.
Not without
it's important.
Argentine President Javier Milei says he wants to deepen ties with China as he believes that the country is a great trade partner. He also spoke exclusively to John Micklewaite, Bloomberg News' editor-in-chief at Bloomberg House on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum in Davos.
We've had some very fruitful meetings with the Chinese embassy and with Xi Jinping, a meeting which we had in Brazil during the G20 summit. And we consider that our economies are complementary and that there's a lot for us to do together as great trade partners.
Alec Hogg is on the ground in Davos, and earlier today he attended a speech by Argentine President Javier Milei, and Alec says that it is one of the most powerful speeches he has listened to in a long time.
Well, first of all, it's snowing, so it's cold, not as cold as it can get, but it is cold. And I guess a lot of people are happy to see the snow. I don't know if you can see it on the screen, but I've been here 19 times to Davos. I have never been in a talk like the one I've just experienced. Javier Milei, the Argentinian president, last year he came here and he made a talk and there was muted applause. There was half full audience. People weren't really interested in what he was saying. This year, he was treated like a rock star. He was given a huge welcoming by the WEF. He got to the podium and started telling the WEF off. but like flat out, quoting Ayn Rand, quoting Western civilization that was on its way into the graveyard. And I think this is going to be one of those speeches that people are going to refer back to time and time again as a historic moment for the world. It was extraordinary. His attack on wokeism is off the charts. Never seen anything like it.
So, Alec, just give me a sense of what resonated with you in his speech.
Well, the common sense of it. You know, he said that we have been practicing a structure where the politicians have a vested interest in making bigger government and protecting the status quo. And they have used what he calls wokeism, barbarous wokeism, he calls it, to their benefit. And he said that the people who are funding all of this, the taxpayers, have now had enough. And in Argentina, they hit a rock bottom, which in the past year, by applying libertarian approaches, has transformed already, made a massive difference in the economy. And he was applauded. Interesting. There was a full hall. I don't think there was even standing room at the back. When he finished, he was mobbed by both media and anybody else who wanted to shake his hand. And when he left, half the people left with him, despite the fact that the WEF's next session had some of their heaviest hitters, the CEO of Pfizer, Uber, Secretary General, United Nations, and. And people just left because it was like, Millet called it a Copernican change. Almost like we're looking now at the world with a very different perspective.
Now, tell me about Zelensky as well, because on the show today, we've featured both Millet and Zelensky, and you've had access to them both.
Well, I haven't had access, but I'll tell you what happened. So I went for an update to the Ukrainian situation, to Ukraine House, which is down the promenade about 1.5 kilometers from the Congress Center. And it was a small little room, relatively few people, a general from the Ukrainian army and some experts, and we're actually going to get hold of one of those guys, one of the historians, to give us an update on Business TV in a while. But it finished on time, and they said, just wait 10 minutes. You can't leave yet. You've got to wait 10 minutes. Well, an hour and a half later, we were let out after discovering that Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, had an impromptu meeting with Javier Millet downstairs. So for security reasons, they wouldn't let us out of this stuffy little room upstairs. But an hour and a half, Bron, they must have spoken about interesting stuff. So, it wasn't like I had access to them, but it was interesting to know that, you know, you're on the floor above where history's being made. And today history was made. I was maybe in the second or third row, and it was extraordinary. And the thing that got me about this guy, his eyes. Look at his eyes in the pics next time. It's those bright blue, piercing, penetrating, truthful eyes. This is a guy who's changing the world.
So, Alec, this is going to be our last crossing. WEF is into the wind down now, tomorrow being the last day. Anything else you want to point to before we call it a day?
Bron, let me just give you a little wrap-up of where we are. Maybe just a real summary, because I'm coming home soon. The South Africans are on the wrong page. We are talking to the wrong audiences. We are friends with the wrong people. And I hope that there was a Mandela moment when Nelson Mandela came to Davos in 1992. He arrived a socialist who was going to nationalize everything when the ANC came to power. He left saying, oh my goodness, the world has changed. And we had some very good early years under the Madiba presidency. This time around, we're on that same path. We're on the stupid way. We're with the stupid kids. And we're going in the wrong direction. And the smart kids are going in a new direction, which is smaller government, smaller burden on taxpayers, unleashing human potential. And if that's the one thing that comes out of Davos for Cyril Ramaphosa, I hope he listens to Millet's speech. I hope he has been given, he's had that Mandela moment. Mandela's moment came from the Viet Cong general, who was the prime minister of Vietnam at the time, who said to him, don't do all that stuff. We tried, it doesn't work. Try the free market way. And that's my fervent hope on behalf of all South Africans, I think. We've got a great future if we can just get what is going to happen tomorrow.
President Trump has unveiled the Stargate program with the intention of fast-tracking the U.S. to an AI infrastructure superpower. Navreena Singh, who is CEO of AI governance platform Credo, spoke to Caroline Hyde on Bloomberg Technology to discuss.
It feels as though the safety is, again in this case, going to one side, and it is all-out investment in infrastructure. Governance doesn't matter.
Hello from Davos. Good to see you. You know, it's interesting because we are seeing a slightly different narrative on the ground. We are actually seeing that there's a lot of excitement around artificial intelligence, which is powering every industry, and governance and trust building is right central to it. Here at Davos, we have enterprise leaders from some of the top companies. We have policymakers. We have governments represented. And what's really interesting is artificial intelligence is the talk of the day, but more importantly is trust. So I'm not seeing safety and trust conversations moving to the side. I'm actually seeing they still being right in the focus here.
But he undid that executive order that potentially you helped advise on previously about AI safety and governance. So do you still think that businesses will commit to having a Credo come in when they are also looking to build out? How new is this investment seeming from SoftBank, from Oracle, and from OpenAI?
You know, the Trump administration has been investing a lot in artificial intelligence, just like the previous government has invested a lot in AI in the past couple of years. I think we are going to continue to see the momentum in this space. Now, what form it takes, I would say the next 48 hours and two next 6 months are going to tell. But there is still a lot of discussion around what does good guardrails, what does good governance for this very powerful technology look like? And as you know, this is such a broad space. Artificial intelligence technology is creating markets and markets within markets. And guardrails are becoming central to the conversation around trust and risk management.
Certainly, it still remains important to Europe, and there are two very different tacks being taken, it feels like, from EU regulation and US regulation. With your expertise, having advised the previous administration and potentially still working for this next one in an advisory role, Navreena, do you think this $100 billion, maybe $500 billion, is actually new? Or is it just being packaged in a new way? Because look, apparently all the infrastructure was already being built in some way in Texas, according to Larry Ellison. And we already heard from Masayoshi Son about his $100 billion intentions.
It might not be a new idea, but I think this is showing further commitment to this transformational technology. So is this a good step in the right direction? Absolutely. Now, what this means in terms of making sure that we are driving growth responsibly, that is yet to be determined.
In the world of business banking, projections, numbers, and your bottom line can often triumph over relationships. At Investec, we value both. That's why we understand that running a successful business takes endurance, drive, and partners who are willing to walk the journey with you. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking. Out of the ordinary.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
BizNews' Chris Stain spoke to Lord Peter Hain from the House of Lords today after the British government decided not to resuspend Bain from getting government contracts. Hain has vowed to continue to haunt and pursue state capture implicated company Bain.
Why am I continuing to do this? Because the whole episode of state capture has always had the fingers being pointed at the politicians, and rightly so. Former President Zuma lost his office at the end of that period because there was so much disgust and revulsion about his nakedly shameless looting. And other politicians have paid the price. Not enough. Not enough. There's still people at the top of their governments who were implicated in that kind of corruption. And it goes on, as I don't need to tell you and your viewers, it goes on right throughout the society from top to bottom. It hasn't gone away. It's just less obvious and less shameless. And I think the global corporates are much more wary now about giving bribes and backhanders in order to secure public contracts, because they know they could be exposed in the way that they were previously. And certainly, if there are any episodes of that, I will expose them if I'm invited to do so under privilege in the House of Lords. But the reason I'm so passionate about this is it wasn't just the politicians that were guilty. It takes two to tango. And it was the businesses who paid the bribes, who paid the backhanders, who did the soft audits, as KPMG admitted to doing, who did the whitewash reports on what was going on, as the international law firm Hogan Lovells belatedly accepted, and I see that it's closed down in South Africa. There needs to be an admission in the business community of its culpability. And, you know, Bain, as the chief, as the head of the queue, head and shoulders above all of the others in their complicity, have paid a sort of a price, but a very minimal one. And so I'll continue to haunt them and pursue them. Their managing director in London asked to see me, and I said, no. I've seen KPMG, I've seen McKinsey, I've seen HSBC, I've seen Standard Chartered, all at a very high level, asked to see me when I first exposed this, in late 2017, 2018, 2019. I've done all of it, 2017 to 2018. Their bosses were so shocked. They flew from New York and other places, and London itself, of course, came to see me in my office. And I gladly did that. And we had frank exchanges at which they admitted their culpability. But Bain asked to see me without accepting their culpability, without answering any of the charges that I've put. And so I will not prepare to, you know, be soft-soaked and heard their story yet again, saying, oh, well, it was just a rogue guy, when I know for a fact it wasn't. When their former global partner and brave whistleblower, Athol Williams, who's paid a heavy price, including leaving the country of his birth and having to come into effective exile in London, in England. That is the sort of thing that was happening in the apartheid days. That shouldn't be happening to brave citizens like Athol, who blew the whistle and paid a heavy price. That shouldn't be happening now, should it? And Bain is responsible for this. And that's why I refuse to meet them. I'm not going to give them any credence until they own up.
Turning our attention to the markets, David Shapiro from Sasfin gives us insight into how investors are reacting in light of the new U.S. administration. Shapiro says that U.S. stocks are rallying while South African stocks are lagging at the moment.
Business people and even countries are very positive about what this means for the global economy and are responding in a positive way. I think the big drivers, I think things that have influenced the market is we expected him to introduce tariffs right away, but he's scaled back on that. And they're more threats than really impositions at this time. So the dollar's come off the boil, which is good for us, and it's also good for markets. But the other thing is that a lot of attention now on artificial intelligence, developing technology, whether these funds that they suggest to increase infrastructure are ever going to come about, because the numbers brandied are so incredibly huge. I don't know where they're going to find the money. And already Mr. Altman and Mr. Trump are Mr. Musk are battling it out, you know, for dominance. But Bronwyn, the bottom line is that it's giving markets a lift. And we've seen some very strong gains in the US, particularly leaning towards tech. So I think the S&P up 5% already, yeah.
So much debate, David, happening on the tech billionaires and their influence over Washington. They were there in hordes, if you can say, at the presidential inauguration. Do you think that this is going to be undue influence on US politics?
Well, that's US politics. You know, I don't think it's changed in generations. I think this is nothing new. And they certainly don't want to upset Mr. Trump because he can be incredibly spiteful and hateful, and who knows what the consequences will be. So even Zuckerberg, who is a deep critic, you know, was sitting there smiling and shaking hands and everybody like that. I just take it in my stride. I'm saying this is Americans. This is who they are. The rich get richer and they build out this, you know, this nation. And sadly, I think that other countries are falling behind. Europe is staggering, UK staggering, and even emerging markets are battling to say, well, what do we do? So I look at it, kind of take myself backwards, say, okay, you know, this is where we've been invested. Let's just enjoy the ride and not get emotionally involved because that can eat you up inside.
Definitely don't want to be eaten up inside, David. Let's talk about the South African space and how stocks are responding. Are they working in tandem with global markets, with US markets in particular?
Not really. We're lagging a bit now. And the one side that is picking up is Richemont has been quite strong. We've seen gold shares have been picking up as well. But I mean, over and above that, we're looking very closely at China. And we're getting mixed messages. We're not quite sure how to respond to that. The commodity markets, which should, if you think about what Trump's doing, rolling out, building this huge infrastructure and technology, that's demand for copper that should help or underpin our commodity companies, as well as his views on fuel, on fossil fuel, which should help the platinum prices. We've seen muted response up to now. And then the other side that's a little concerning is last year we had a good year, Bronwyn, in banks, and we had a very good year in retailers. But this year, they seem to be coming off a bit as we wait now for the economy to pick up. In other words, share prices ran ahead of the underlying results. So I think there's a bit of a mismatch there. And for that reason, we haven't seen the kind of gains extend, even though Mr. Price has come out with decent results, Clicks have come out with decent results, and I expect other retailers to do similarly. But market's a bit slow to respond.
Well, David, we'll catch up with you again soon. Thank you for the update on both local and global markets. David Shapiro from Sasfin. That brings us to the end of this week's BizNews Briefing series. We'll be back on Monday with more insights both locally and globally. Thanks so much for joining us.
This BizNews Briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to finance solutions that enable real growth.